Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Moment Is Now. I'm Stephanie Patterson, a.k.a. Lady Oracle Tarot, and with me today is Linda Becker, spiritual teacher and meditation consultant. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
Good morning, Miss Steffi. I am doing fabulous. I'm doing good. I've been noticing a lot of people are feeling really sluggish and asking me what's going on, and I just think it's the gray skies and the rain, and it's just everybody's just not having very much energy, but I think it's because it's right after the holidays, too. So that's the biggest complaint I've been getting from people that are calling me, is that they just have no energy. And I just said, well, need to come back.
This seems like a very long kind of slog through to rebuild our energy from the holiday season. I know that I've had the best intentions, you know, to get up early, exercise, eat better. And so, yes, as we know, like my mother used to say, Stephanie May, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
That's right. Yeah, but everybody is feeling very sluggish. But I'm excited about the show today, since you are the most knowledgeable person I know about the tarot, and I've never really studied it like you have, but I like the oracle cards, and you like the tarot. Well, you like them all, so I like them all
too,
but I understand the oracle better as you understand the tarot, so this is going to be a very exciting show.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it. I thought we'd kind of start out today with explaining to people the differences between decks. I mean, all card reading is called cardomancy, and it's an act of divination, much like crystals or scrying, where you look into a bowl of water, any of that kind of thing. But back in the 15th century in Italy, there was a commission to a man named Beneficio Bembo to make what was called a tarocchi deck. And it's called tarocchi, or some people call it tarocchi, depending on, you know, I guess how you're taught to say it. But anyway, it was commissioned by the Duke of Milan, and it was four suits of 14 cards each and 22 cards representing the social and moral aspects of medieval life. And that's where the first introduction of the religious themes came into what we currently know as the modern tarot decks.
Oh.
So this was the standard for tarot or tarocchi decks. And then it kind of migrated. It became, Italy was the big place to produce these types of decks. And then the next one was Marseille in France. And out of that came what we know as the Tarot of Marseille. So now from that, we're going to fast forward and to the beginnings of the 19th century, or the end of the 19th century, beginnings of the 20th century, where Arthur Edward White and Pamela Coleman Smith. Pamela Coleman Smith was the famous artist who did the illustrations for what we now commonly call the Rider White Coleman Smith tarot deck. And Pamela Coleman Smith was also known as Pixie Coleman. Anyway, the standards of the decks became 78 cards, and they're divided into two, and we've talked about this before, the major arcana, which literally translates to big secrets, and minor arcana, which is little secrets. And so when I'm doing a reading, I say, well, if an issue comes up and it's displayed with major arcana, this is your call to pay attention to what the issue is and what you're being told, because this is the big stuff, the high points. So, you know, this is where we see the Fool and the Magician in the major arcana, the Empress, you know, all those characters that we've come to know. The chief differences between the Tarot of Marseille is that in the major arcana, the 8 and the 11 is reversed. Like number 8 is in Rider White is strength. In the Tarot of Marseille, it's justice. And 11, which is justice in Rider White, is strength in the Tarot of Marseille. So those two numbers are flip-flopped. So that's just kind of a brief history.
Are most tarot decks similar? I mean, their meanings? I mean, I know they're different by the people that create them and the artist, but I mean, are they pretty, I mean, they're pretty similar, most tarot decks?
Yes, there's a standard keywords. that you use.
That's what
as
I was
going
to ask. Is there a standard to be identified as a tarot deck?
Correct. You're absolutely right. Most tarot decks that are created have subtle interpretations by the artist and by the writer. There's usually a tarot expert and an artist, and sometimes they're one and the same. It's the same with oracle decks. It's subject to interpretation. But in tarot, there's a basic groundwork and a structure, and it's in card themes and numeric sequences and that sort of a thing. And I know that you and I have very favorite decks, and oracle decks are very different in that they're usually centered around a theme that carries through. Well, all decks are, but it's different with an oracle deck because the central themes might be joy, compassion, heartache, and it's all broken down. Instead of the 78 cards, it can be anywhere from, 30 cards to 48 cards, depending on who's doing the deck.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your favorite card deck? You and I get together, and I should tell our listeners this. Linda and I generally once or twice a month try to get together to just bang out some cards because we just love it. So what's your favorite card deck?
Well, of course, if I asked you the same question, there'd never be just one. I mean, the thing about the oracle decks that when I work with them and why I prefer them or I like them more is every card deck or every artist or every writer, they have a different vibration. You could pick up a deck of cards and they just feel different from each other. And I don't know how to explain it except that, it's an intuitive feeling. But if you pick up a deck of cards and they vibrate at a specific rate, I mean, whether it's masculine or feminine or like angelic cards or wizard cards, they all feel different. And that's why when people ask me about the decks, I tell them, you're just going to have to go and you're going to have to just pick them up and feel them or, just take a chance and buy some online. But they do, each deck that I have, which I must have 40 decks by now, feel different. There's a feeling that's different. So my favorite cards that I seem to really resonate with is the Osho Zen cards because I've been using them for, 30 years now, and they just really work vibrationally with me, and I seem to get more intuitive information from them. But, I have other decks, too, that I really like. It's just how different it's according to what you want. Like if I pick up the Goddess deck, it has this soft motherly love feeling and an expansive energy that's like on the really feminine. But then I can pick up the wizard cards and they feel very mystical, but they feel a little bit more masculine. And then, of course, I have the power decks, like for power animals and the animal spirits. That's more of an earthly vibration and an animal vibration. And like the sacred path cards I use, they're Native American, so they feel different as well. And the archangel ones and the shadowscape tarot that I like to play with, is the artwork in there is phenomenal. So it's something that's very personal that you could feel the difference. And I have fairy cards and unicorn cards, all of that, but it's just according to how it feels to a person when they're using it. Because I could pick up a deck, there was a time when the Osho Zen would not talk to me. It's like I was not getting a lot of guidance from it, and I couldn't they weren't working. They just was like, okay, well, we're not working for you now. So I had to put them away, and for about 2 years, I was using the Voyager cards, which are really expansive, and they're big cards, and they have a lot of stuff on them in the picture and the artwork. And I do know that the gentleman that had them or made them took him 10 years to create the cards. So and they feel
we're talking about James Wanless. Linda?
Yes.
We're talking about Wanless. Yeah, I think it's Wanless.
Okay.
W-A-N-L-E-S-S.
And so I used his for quite a while, but his has so much in it. His pictures have so much in it that they really vibrate almost wildly. But once you start laying them down, then there, like you said, there's a theme if you're asking a specific question. But his cards, I will say, could be read like 50 different ways. Each picture can be, because there's so much in it. He's like covered every aspect of fortune telling in it. But it's all about the oracle cards, which is what I love. And there's other cards too. A lot of people use, like, you pull one card a day. It's like getting one of those books that gives you a message every day. Well, there's decks of cards that are like that too. Eckhart Tolle has some out. Esther Hicks has tons of them out. And Doreen Virtue has tons. She has lots of them, different kind of angel cards. And some unusual ones that I have that I play with are the Carolyn Miss, and she has a whole deck on archetypes. So I learned a lot about archetypes just by playing with them cards. So I do prefer the oracle cards.
I think archetypes are a huge part of tarot, especially the major arcana, because the major arcana is used to illustrate the journey that the soul takes. The Fool or the Wild card, this is where we get the Joker, the Fool walking off the cliff, takes the journey through and meets all these people, all these characters or archetypes through the major arcana to the world, which is total integration. And I think at the, as I recall, Zen, Osho Zen, their final card in their major arcana is integration, the puzzle piece fitting in. And that means that all the parts you've assimilated. And I agree. I think Osho Zen is just a wonderful, that is, for our listeners, is by Deva Padma. I sell it out of Lady Oracle Tarot online, and you can also get it through any card retailer. It's a little bit more expensive than a lot of the mass-produced decks, but I think that it is just fantastic, and it takes you to different levels. It's a very contemplative deck, one of my favorites. Talking about numerical themes, that's something more in keeping with tarot than it is when you're getting into the oracle decks. I have some favorite oracle decks myself, but I wanted to briefly go over the card themes. So when you're looking at your basic numbers in your minor arcana, two in all the decks, and we're talking swords, cups, pentacles, and wands. Twos mean union, the joining, like the Two of Cups is about relationships. The Two of Wands is about personal power, the union of the self. Threes are about the full expression of the elements, like swords are air and cups are water. So you're going to see more things in that. So the Three of Wands, that's fire. Fire is the best action. I have on my blog, Lady Oracle, blogspot.com, if you type in Lady Oracle Tarot, blogspot.com, you'll come up with my blog. And I have one on there called Lights, Camera, Action. And that's kind of a spread that I use in tarot. So to me, the Ace of Wands is the spark, the idea that comes across to you. Number two is the personal power, stepping out of yourself, and that's the camera coming on. You are perfectly content where you are, but you see the world and what could, and you see the possibilities. Number three is the action. There's the horizon. It's just you and your destiny, and you step out and make it happen. So that's why I call it the lights, camera, action. But anyway, I digress. Fours are about structure, the foundations, building a firm foundation. Fives, we all hate to see fives come up a lot because they're about loss and conflict. Five of Cups is grief. Four of Wands is confusion and conflict and battles. Six is about communication. In like the Six of Wands is leadership. It's also about triumph and there's a sense of overcoming, but not as much as the seven in the major arcana, which would be chariot, which is rising above and triumphing over adversity. Eights in tarot are always about movement. That's why the Eight of Wands is incoming messages, and sometimes it literally does feel like incoming. But so when you see a lot of eights in a reading, you know that something's moving, something's going to happen. Nine is about compromises and struggles. The Nine of Cups is about having it all, but it's the cost of having it all and the compromise that comes from the security of having it all. Nine of Wands is about perseverance, where you get kicked down to your knees, and it takes a lot of effort to get up day after day to resume the battle of life or your journey. But it's worth it. It's that perseverance that gets you there. And then tens are all about completion. And, you know, we see it with happy family, continuance in pentacles, the ten of pentacles, where you're in the courtyard and there's granddad laying in the sun there, and the dogs are even happy. They're rich, too. So are the kids are playing and happy. And so that's kind of your journey through there. So.
Wow, that's a great explanation. You know, I want to look up and see how that, the explanation you just gave, if it resonates with numerology, because each number means something different in numerology. So I'll look that up and give our listeners a heads up what I find out next week. But, yeah, I was just thinking that as you were explaining the numbers.
Yeah, you work with a numerologist, don't you?
Yes, I do. And that's very fascinating within itself. I'd love to study it, but I just can't stick with one thing. I'm just like, I want to know a little bit about everything. So, but that's,
I know.
I do have a really good book on it, but still, I'm out there trying to learn everything. And I'm not a master of anything, but I do know a little bit about everything. So I
makes a great conversation.
I guess so, yeah. You could act like you really know a lot.
There you are. One of the things that struck me is the astrological configurations. And like I said, every planet is associated with a tarot card. Like with Mars, it's the Tower of Destruction. And let's see, I'm trying to think. Oh, Mercury is the Magician. So that's when I do my blog. I try to put in the tarot cards if I'm talking about astrology, you know, so people get an idea.
Yeah, I noticed that. They, like, cross each other. There's a lot of meaning between the planets and the stars and the tarot deck as well.
Mm-hmm.
And numerology. Yeah. I bet they're all just really, connected.
Mm-hmm. They are, definitely. And it goes back to the Hebrew Kabbalah and the Kabbalistic traditions. So, and I have some books on that I'm delving into too. I mean, tarot is just so terribly fascinating to me. And it is kind of an agony and an ecstasy. You talk about decks grabbing you. I remember Corinne Kenner and John J. Bloom and people, I cannot recommend this deck enough, and that's the Wizard's Tarot. And the premise is it's all set against a wizarding school. And so all your professors are in the major arcana and so forth. And it's a fun deck, but it's also very deep. Corinne Kenner does a lot of work with astrological associations. So if you're interested in that, this is a very important deck for you to get, because it's a good, friendly way to learn those associations without, you know, looking at, okay, there's alchemical stuff, what's going on here? She does it in a fun way. And John J. Blumen's illustrations are just wonderful. He's one of my favorite artists. And talking, you know, I opened that deck, I got it in the mail, and it was like it leapt at me and said, hello, we're home. And I went,
They do all have a feeling and a message when you pick them up, and it's just amazing the connection that they can make and the energy that they put off. You know, I remember the legacy cards I bought, which are like one of the most incredible pictures. I mean, the artwork's just incredible. But when I opened it, it was like the same thing. It's like, okay, you're going to work to be able to use us. And they had like this intense energy. And I had to just put them away for like a month. And I put some crystals on it and some, I think you gave me some tourmaline, right? Put on it,
black,
you know. Yes, and I just had to do that because they were like, you're not messing with us yet. It was like I had to earn, I don't know, it just felt like I had to earn earn their trust or something. I don't know what it was, but they still vibrate at a really intense rate.
Yeah, definitely.
And I love them.
Are like
they're
that.
Just like, they're like trying to have a conversation with a professor about something, because they just seem so knowledgeable. And it's mm-hmm. something about earning the right to use them. That's what I meant to say. And so I still work with them in private. I don't use them with other people because it's something about having to make some kind of connection with them. But I do love the artwork and the story behind it. That's what drove me to buy it, was just reading the story around it.
Yeah, one of yours and my favorite illustrators is Sarah Marchetti, who does both tarot mm-hmm. decks and oracle decks. And I have my ultra favorite is probably Legacy of the Divine Tarot by him. And I understand it's Tarot of Dreams. I think he's going to reissue if he hasn't already, and I'm waiting for that one. He
me
does
too. I can't
incredible.
Wait. He is awesome. His artwork's yeah. amazing.
Yeah, I have his new Oracle of Visions, and that is a nice segue into something else I wanted to talk about. So people that just, you know, they go and they want, well, I want to have my cards read. And, you know, as we're trying to make people understand here, that means a lot of things to a lot of different people. And one mm-hmm. of the other decks, or series of decks, is based on the what we call the Lormand system. And that's comes from the early 1800s, a woman named Marie Anne Lormand, she was born in 1772, and she, you know, had some ups and downs in her life, and she did time as a student at a French convent school, and when she came out, they apprenticed her to a milliner, but somewhere along the line, about at age 14, she claimed that she was given a deck of gypsy fortune-telling cards. And she became the favorite. She's probably one of the most, if not the most, famous fortune-teller in the history of the world, but definitely in France. And during the French Revolution, she read for Robespierre and Marat. You know, we all know Marat, the guy who got stabbed to death in his bathtub, for being not a very nice person. But anyway, so she read for them. She also read for the Empress Josephine, and it's believed that, you know, she read for Napoleon as well. Her deck is different, and, you know, you got some Gypsy Witch fortune-telling cards from me, remember, Linda?
Yes.
Yeah, and those are basically a Lormand. They are, because you have the playing card association with them, and there's characters that are attached to the playing cards, like a Jack is a active, virile young man, much like the Knight in Tarot. But these cards are different because there's ships, there's crossroads on them. They use symbols, and it's mm-hmm. only one symbol, one image. So when you're looking at those, you know, you may notice something strikes you when you're doing cardomancy. No matter how many times you look at a card, for the querent that's sitting in front of you when you go to read, you're going to notice something different in the picture, and it'll pop out. And, you know, one of the things is I hear something whispered in the back of my head, and I go, I don't know why I'm hearing this word. And somebody will say to me, because I said that exact same word to so-and-so this morning about this issue. It often happens that way. Yeah. So, anyway, Lormand, it's really had a resurgence in popularity over the last couple of years. People are teaching it. It's a kind of huge subject at tarot conventions. And and that's another thing that I know I tend to ping all over the place, but, you know, our time is so limited. One thing I do want to do is a plug for an organization called Tarosophy International, Marcus Katz and Talia Godwin. And these people have tried to take tarot reading to a whole new art and a whole new level. There's several books, but they sponsor conferences around the world, go on Facebook, ask to be admitted, you know, to their site. It costs to join them annually, but there's some wonderful benefits from it, too. Mm-hmm. So, Linda, what have we left unsaid?
We want to talk about the spreads, the different kind of spreads.
The spreads, yes.
We were going to talk about that.
Yeah, the standard spread is what we call a Celtic cross. And it covers you in the present moment. That's what's at the center. So your first card you lay down is you. What crosses it is the obstacles that you face, or it can be complementary. It's what supports you in a given situation. At the bottom, it's what grounds you to the earth. It's what you're dealing with in the real world. Up above you, the card you place is your mindset, your connection to the spiritual realm. What's in back of you is your past. What's in front of you is your future. And then you have a basic outcome row. And the outcome,
right.
The first card in, I'm sorry, did you say something?
No. I'm taking notes.
Okay. Okay, so at the bottom of the, starting at the bottom in your outcome row, the first card you lay down is your view of the situation. In other words, it's your attitude about it, what you're looking for. It's a very telling portion. And that, to me, is one of the key things to read, much more than your past and your future, because that tells you the essence of where you're coming from. The next one is the energy coming into the situation that you're looking at. But to me, it's the next one up from that. And this is the specific message from the deck. It's the things they want you to remember about yourself, the things they want you to consider about the situation and you and how you relate to it, parts of your personality. That, to me, is the most important part to get across to people, because once they see that and remember that about themselves, then they can make informed decisions. The next one up is what I call the first outcome row, because Linda and I use an augmented Celtic cross when we read. We have the first outcome card, and then to the left of that, we lay the last outcome card. And this does a couple of things, and I think Linda and I both noticed this, that sometimes it's the final say, but it also can present you with the right person, the right circumstances, a bridge, a split. It kind of shows you the road not taken. What your outcome could be if you have the courage to work through the issues. The other one is the probable, if you don't change anything, where you're headed, what you're going to end up with. The next one is, if you have the courage to change what needs to be changed, this is where you can go. This is who you can become. And so what you do to determine the obstacles and what you need to contend with is you start crossing cards. So you lay a card across the future. You lay it across, there's two future places, really, near close future and long-term future. You cross those. You see what supports you or what influences your mindset at the top by laying a card across where you're connected spiritually, or what you combat daily by laying where you're grounded to the earth in your day-to-day life. So this is probably what everybody builds up to. The most used. But there's many spreads. There's literally hundreds of spreads.
There's different ways.
Many different tarot cards, there's many different spreads.
Mm-hmm. And the three that I like to use, I use the Celtic cross too most of the time. But I also have the other three that I use is just pulling one card, just asking, you know, what do I need to focus on today? What would help me? What am I not seeing? Any kind of thing, any kind of question that you would have, you could just pull one card and get a message from that. And then I also like to do a three-card spread, which is past, present, and future, even though it's in this moment. I like to do them a lot. I have questions about specific things to see where I've come from and where I am right now and where I'm going to immediately. And the newest one I've been working with is a six-card spread, which is just like the basic Celtic cross without the ones that go up the side. It's where who am I and then what's on what's right on top of me, what's above me, behind me, below me, and in front of me. And sometimes I use that to give me to tell me exactly where am I at, so I have a better view of maybe things that I haven't noticed. And I like the six card spread too. So that's the three that I use. Well, it's the four basically. I only use one of them four. So
there's one that I use too. It's called the Four Winds. It's an Inca medicine wheel. I teach it, and imagine in front of you is a map, north, south, east, and west. So you lay card number one on the south, and that means what you need to leave behind. Number two, you lay to the west. That's what you must confront. The third card is on the north, and that's what you need to know. And the fourth card to the east is what will you attain. So again, south, what you need to leave behind, that's card number one. Card number two to the west, what you must confront. Card number three, what do you need to know? Card number four, what will you attain? So that's kind
that's
of a,
awesome.
When you're on a, yeah, isn't
I like
that great?
That one.
It's a vision quest spread, and it's very helpful when you can't get close enough to issues. You know, we could go on and on about this subject. You know, I have hundreds of decks. There's collector decks. We've been talking about mass-produced decks, but there are designer decks. And, you know, get out there on the internet, people. Explore
the
what...
Alice in Wonderland from Czech. They're awesome. Or Prague, I guess.
Oh, more. Yes.
We didn't get
Studios.
To talk about them. They're awesome.
No.
Okay, well, we've run out of time again. Maybe we'll do another show on the decks. So
yeah,
much to
that
share.
Would be fun. Yeah, there is.
Okay,
well, send us your emails.
Yeah, email us if you have any questions. It's on the site, the Blog Talk Radio. So, well, everybody, that's the end of the show. It always goes so fast. We will talk to you again next Friday.
All right. Goodbye,
thank
everybody.
You so
have
much,
a great
Stephanie.
Week.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Have
thank
a wonderful
you,
week. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.